God is good and all the time. Today I'd like to welcome our folks that are out there on internet land, Facebook, YouTube, Periscope, whatever you're visiting on with us today. We do thank you and we appreciate the fact that you are here with us because you are part of our congregation. When you tune in, I want you to realize you're already part of the Church of Jesus Christ, and we're part of that church. So we're already one in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And amen. But today we are going to carry into our second Sunday of Advent, and I'm looking at the sermon title which I've given you this day, and it's titled, "The Peace of God Comes with Power." We talk about the peace of God on different Christmases when we're doing the different Advent series. And I wanted to explain just a touch of that here today because I want you to understand. Last year we did hope, peace, joy, and love. And normally I switch it off that we would be doing the traditional aspect of it this year, which would be what? Bethlehem, prophecy. Come on now, you've learned this for years. Bethlehem, prophecy, angels, and shepherds. Okay, the angels get the pink candle. Yeah. So when we think about those things, we change them up. This year, I wanted to do, once again, hope, peace, joy, and love for a very special reason. How many of you are seeing hope in our world? How many of you are seeing peace in our world? How about joy? Is there a whole lot of love out there? It's really getting tough to see these things in our world. But we need to be reminded, we the church need to be reminded that the hope of God never leaves. The peace of God is all-sustaining. The joy of the Lord is ours as long as we claim it. Right, Miss Jen? Don't let him steal it. And the love of God, through the sacrifice of his son, through the first coming of his son, then guarantees us the second coming of his son. And they will never fail us. So I want us to understand why hope, peace, joy, and love, a second year in a row. So today, as we get into the thought of peace, I wanted to bring it up a notch, you know, like that chef that used to be out there on the internet. Bam! We're going to raise it up a notch. Well, I want you to think about the peace of God, and we're going to add a little bit of salt and light to it, and bam! We're going to raise it up a notch. I have to laugh because years ago, Bobby Bolts would do that all the time. And I loved it, and I still love it. So let's raise it up a notch. Turn in your Bibles to the book of John. The book of John. We're going to be in the 14th chapter. 14th chapter of the book of John. And I'm going to use a scripture to start this thing off. And many of you are going to look at me and say, wow, that's weird. Why are you using that scripture? But let's open it with John 14, verses 1 through 6. And then we're going to jump right to 25 through 27. Okay, so just, you know, bump over after we get through, because we're going to read it, and then I'm going to come back and talk. John 14, beginning in the first verse. "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me, Jesus Christ. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." And then jumping over to the 25th verse, we read these words. "These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. When I think of these words, when I think of what Jesus Christ is speaking here, many of us hear these first verses 1 through 6, we hear them at a time of bereavement. We hear them at a graduation service or a funeral service. This is some of the scriptures that I myself use many times. Pastor David is shaking his head, yeah, because they're words of eternal comfort, eternal peace. But I want you to understand something. Jesus is prophesying here about his second coming. This is Christmas. And we use Christmas at the time of bereavement for a saint who has passed on. Because they have come into Christmas. Because Jesus Christ has received them to himself. But there is a time coming when he has gone away and he's preparing a place for you and I, and he's going to receive us to himself. That is peace with God. And then he speaks to us from John, from the 25th through the 27th verses. And he tells us that in that peace, he's going to add a blessing. Not only is he going to guarantee us that he's going to come again, but he's going to send the Holy Spirit to help us get from here to there. How many of you like to have a little bit of help in getting to some place you ain't never been before? Now, I'm not talking to you guys because none of you ask for directions. We'll figure it out on our own, okay? If you keep turning left, what happens? You're going in circles, dude. All right? I want us to remember Jesus Christ has given us not as the world has given us. Verse 27 says it again. Jesus makes a statement here that I want us to really understand. And that statement in verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. What does that statement mean? I want us to think about the reality that Jesus Christ here wants us to focus on something that we're not used to. How many times have we spoken peace as a people? I'm talking humanity. We have spoken peace one to another. World War I, at the end of it, we made a great big peace treaty and everybody was happy, everybody went home and everything's going to be okay, right? We never had another war. No, that's why we had World War II. We call it World War I because the second one came. Do you think they called it World War I when it happened? No, it was just called the Great War. Well, then the second one happened and they said, well, that was World War I, this is World War II. And again, and again, and again. And if we go back through history and we look at all the peace treaties that we made with one another, when we read the scriptures and we read of the peace that came in the land, did it last? Why? Because we're in the land and we're broken. We are sin-filled creatures. It is our broken nature. The day we fell from grace, the day Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it was broken. Peace was broken. Peace is eternal, and that is something I want you to understand. Jesus Christ here is speaking to us something that we need to grasp. He is bringing us back to a right relationship between us and God. That is what he's talking about when he speaks this. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, with me to the book of Ezekiel. To the book of Ezekiel. Now, I think it's funny because when I go to the Old Testament, there's a lot of folks who will say to me, you know, Pastor Rich, this is wonderful. You know, you're teaching us history, and that's great. But, you know, God was speaking to Israel here. He really wasn't speaking to us. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, that's the truth. You know, I won't deny that. But I also want you to understand that are we in Abraham? Yes, we are. We are engrafted into Israel through Abraham. I'm not talking about replacement theology here, which is wrong. which says, oh, now all the things that were promised to Israel are defunct for Israel. Now they're only for the church. No. The church is part of Israel. Get your head right. Get your heart right. We need to understand these promises are still for Israel. They will be fulfilled in the millennium and thereafter. But guess what? We get them now. Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. Everybody was like, where are we going, Pastor? You keep talking, but you ain't telling us where to go. Well, Jesus is going to tell us where to go from verses 24 through 28. From 24 through 28. Now this, and I want us to understand, Ezekiel here is talking, and David is already dead, in the ground, buried. His sons are on the throne. And look what Ezekiel says here. And you tell me, is he talking about a living David, or is he talking about a David that is yet to come? He says, my servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd. And they will walk in my ordinances and keep my statutes and observe them. They will live on the land I give to Jacob, my servant, in which your fathers lived. They will live on it, they and their sons' sons forever. And David, my servant, will be their prince forever. I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. My dwelling place also will be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And the nations will know that I am the Lord who sanctifies Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever. Man, I look at that and I understand Jesus Christ here through prophecy is being spoken into the future. And it's not here today. This is a yet to come future. Now, Jesus is ruling and reigning on the throne of God, right? So it's already happening now. But there's a time to come, and we call it the millennium. But then that ushers in the eternal age. And that is actually, you know, people say, well, you know, the Bible really doesn't speak a whole lot about eternity. I just read you a whole portion here about the eternal state. Because this is beyond the millennium. This is speaking of the eternal estate, when the sanctuary of God will be with men for how long? Forever. Brothers and sisters, the hope that we have of Christmas is yet pouring out. It is a gift that keeps on giving. Are you receiving it? And see, this is something that I want you to understand. The peace that Jesus Christ gives us is not the type of peace that the world gives us that's broken at every chance it can get. The peace of Jesus Christ transcends time, transcends space, transcends life, transcends our soul. But you have to let him in. You have to open up. You have to open up. It's up to you. It's your choice. It's your choice. I'm going to tell you right now, when I look at the things that are happening out here in our world, how many of you are enjoying 25% inflation? How many of you love going to the store only to find out that the butter you need isn't there? You know, I think it's amazing when you go. We live in America. Now, if we were in Venezuela, okay. We live in America. We live in America. And we're seeing this stuff in America. And what is happening? What is going on? There's a subversion of things that are coming to steal our peace, to steal our hope. We are understanding as the body of Christ that the very core of who we are is under attack. I had to laugh. I watched this thing on Facebook the other day. Okay, every now and then I get on there and check things out, see what you folks are doing. And this thingy came across, and it was a thing where this LGBTI, no, they changed it from Q because it's LGBT, because it's European, all right? And it was a picture of a man and a man holding a baby. It was supposed to be the nativity. The one man had a beard and he was Mary. Talk about a perversion, right? And one of the commentators said, "That was awesome. Now let's see you do that with Muhammad." It's okay to do this stuff to the Church of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Church of Jesus Christ is the church of truth. It is the church of salvation. It is the truth of Jesus Christ. For he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. So they don't care about Muhammad. They don't care about Gandhi. They don't care about any of these other gods that are out there, because they are the gods of lies and they have no power. But they will come against the God of truth. They will come against the Christ of the world, the only one who gave his life on the cross of Calvary, that any who would come unto him shall be saved. Can I get an hallelujah and an amen? Because, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you right now, even the world sees truth, and you can see it in what they do and what they don't do. Can I get an amen? Because the evil one is not going to come against the false stuff, because it's already a lie. But he is going to come against you and I. He is going to try to steal our peace. He is going to try and rip it away. But God says right here in the book of Ezekiel, he says it right here, "I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it will be an everlasting covenant." The blood of Christ does not get washed away. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Oh, brothers and sisters, we have a glorious God and King, and he wants us to remember that we are no longer of this world, for through the redemption of Christ, we have been redeemed into the kingdom of God. Hebrews chapter 9. I got to turn pages and talk less. Hebrews chapter 9. We're in verses 11 through 28. Now, this is the biggest scripture I'm going to read today, but I got to read all of it, okay? 11 through 28. I'm going to go over a lot. So let's wrap our hearts and minds around this. Let's ask the Lord to illuminate us, all right? Father God, we're coming into your word. This is a large section of your word. So, Lord, we just ask that you would pour out into our lives through this preacher, that I would preach no words of my own, but they would be only the words of the Holy Spirit. That you would guide us into the truth of your word, that we would hold fast to the peace that we have that cannot be taken away, for it is an eternal covenant in the name of Christ Jesus. From verse 11, we read these words. But when Christ appeared as a high priest, this is chapter 9, verse 11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled those who had been defiled, sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse our conscience from the dead works to serve the living God. For this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken away, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgression that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where a covenant is, there must of necessity be the death of the one who made it. For a covenant is valid only when men are dead, for it is never in force while the one who made it lives. Therefore, even the first covenant was not inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment had been spoken by Moses to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and the goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God commanded you." And in the same way, he sprinkled both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry with the blood. In according to the law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Therefore, it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that he would offer himself often, as the high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, inasmuch as it appointed, as much as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes the judgment. So Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him. Wow! That is one of the biggest theological teachings that I could give. And the apostle here wrote it out in just a few words. What did he just say? It is not the peace of this world. Even in this world, religious people had to offer sacrifice again and again and again and again and again and again just to keep peace with God. Jesus Christ has done it once, and it stands forever. Once. Done. I don't know about you, but when I worked in the machine shop, the one thing they often told us was, do it right the first time, and you don't have to do it a second time. Because 9 chances out of 10, if you didn't do it right the first time, and you repair it on the second time, it's going to wear out 10 times quicker than it would have if you'd have done it right the first time. Because a repair is still a repair, and it's going to give way. Jesus Christ doesn't need repair. Jesus Christ is the way. Jesus Christ is the truth. Jesus Christ is the life. He is the Son of God, very God, light of very light, God of very God. Can I get an amen? And when he gave himself up for you and I, he gave himself up for eternity. And dear brothers and sisters, from the promise of Ezekiel, it is not only for this time, it is not only for the millennium, it is for the eternal kingdom. And that's where you and I are going to live forever and ever and ever and ever. But the amazing thing is, we are living there now, for we are in Christ Jesus. There is a peace that comes, And it is not as the world gives, but it is as Jesus Christ, as God gives. And when God gives the gift of salvation, it is eternal. It is forever. And we cannot be separated from Him. That's where you live. That's where I live. But I also want you to understand something. There's even more power in the peace of God. Pardon me a second. I'm dry. Whew. I love preaching, but sometimes it don't agree with my human being because the Lord can, He's a lot more windier than I am. And some of you people were saying, no. I want you to think about where we are. I want you to think about what God is doing. The peace of God through Jesus Christ, it's not like this world. You know, we're constantly renewing the things in this world. Oh, I'm sorry, let me try that again. Oh, I'm sorry, let me try that again. How many of you are tired of people saying, I'm sorry? In fact, one of the things I hate is the fact they don't even say, I'm sorry. They just expect you to take it and go on. I mean, think about the things in our world. Think about what they're doing. You know, I'm going to speak some truth to you right now. And Joe, I don't mean to hurt your, oh, I should say Brandon. I don't mean to hurt your feelings. But I want you to realize, when we think about where we are, how many things has that man lied to us about? How many things is he doing that are illegal, unconstitutional, and no one's filing charges against him? No one. No, not one. We live in a world where we don't act as we say we are. That has to change with the church. What do you think would happen if every Christian church in the United States of America, if every true Christian church of the United States of America filed a lawsuit against the President of the United States charging criminal neglect? Criminal. I'm talking about looking at the Nuremberg Code, which is part of the law of the United States. If we, the church, put our names on a document holding him liable for what he is doing, do you think there might be a different outcome? Because this stuff is busting loose all over the United States. And I'm going to tell you right now, when they say we're the last bastion of freedom, I want you to remember Jesus Christ, through our forefathers, gave us a land that is far special, far above any other land in the world. We are the last bastion of liberty and freedom. Look what's happening in Australia, New Zealand, Germany. Throughout the world, we see the tyranny of evil coming, rising up. And you know, it's funny because everybody says, you know, the United States is not in the Bible at the end. Everybody says that, you know, we can't see, that, you know, something has had to have happened in the United States. Well, we're headed there. I don't know if it's a civil war. I don't know what it is, but something's coming that's going to take us out of the picture. What do you think is going to happen to a nation that is so divided, the only nation that holds the rest of the world at bay? What do you think it's going to take to usher in the Antichrist kingdom? It's going to take taking away the world of the nation of Christendom that has gone out into the world. How much money goes out from this country to keep peace throughout the land? I want you to think about these things. You are responsible for the peace that the world knows through what we call America. And it's about to end. And I know it is. Are you? Are you there? Are you there? Because I'm telling you right now, it's going to get darker and darker. But God has a word for us that He wants us to understand, that we need to realize He is in charge. And He has a power out there for you and I. But we have to stand in it. Well, Pastor, where's that at? Where does God say this? Turn in your Bible. This is Old Testament, folks. This is Old Testament. Isaiah 41. All right? Isaiah chapter 41. This is prophecy. This is God talking to us. Now, again, most people don't like when, you know, a Christian turns to the Old Testament because you're taking things out of context. Well, guess what? God's going to put them right back into context right here, right now, so that there's no doubt in your mind. All right? Isaiah 41, beginning in the 8th verse. He says to us, thus saith the Lord. Remember, this is prophecy. This is God speaking through the prophet. He says, but you Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, get this, descendant of Abraham, my friend. We are what? We are in Abraham. We, the church of Jesus Christ, are in Abraham, engrafted through faith into Abraham. This is for us, God's word, not mine. All right? You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth. This is talking about all the people who believe in Jesus Christ and called from its remotest parts and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not rejected you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who are angered at you will be shamed and dishonored. Those who contend with you will be as nothing and will perish. You will seek those who quarrel with you, but will not find them. Those who war with you will be as nothing and non-existent. For I am the Lord your God who upholds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not fear, you worm, Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, declares the Lord, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I have made you a new sharp threshing sledge, With double edges, you will thresh the mountains and pulverize them, and will make the hills like chaff. You will winnow them, and the wind will carry them away, and the storm will scatter them. But you will rejoice in the Lord. You will glory in the Holy One of Israel. Brothers and sisters, when we look at the foundation that God has laid here for us, He is telling us right here there is power in His right hand. There is power in the peace of God. We do not have to fear about what we say or what we do as long as we are doing what God wants us to do. If we are in this Word, how many of you can say that? In this Word. If we are in this Word, if we are obeying what the Lord wants us to do, we will find the help of God right there. Isn't that what He said to us? Now, I want you to look at one little verse here, because a lot of people are going to look at this and say, you know, what's being talked about here? Verse 14. I want you to look at verse 14, because I want you to understand, we're here. Remember, this is prophetic. This is prophetic. It talks to the ages, all right? It says, verse 14, do not fear, you worm, Jacob. What is being talked about there? God's calling Jacob a worm. I want you to understand something. God is showing Jacob, you're in this mess because of the world. You're in this mess. He says, you worm Jacob, because isn't that what the world thinks of the church right now? We're just a problem that needs to be shut up. We're just a problem that needs to go away. We're just a problem. Yeah, we are a problem for them, because we are salt and light. We are truth. We are the living body of Jesus Christ. And we are the ones who hold the hope, who hold the peace. We are the ones who give the joy and send out the love. There's a reason that they hate us. Jacob was considered a worm by the world because it didn't want him to realize the position he had. We are the princes of the kingdom of God. We are not connected to this world any longer other than to be sojourners here, and while here, to draw others to the light and life of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? And those who come against us, what does this scripture speak? God is going to bring them to nothing. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, it may not happen in your lifetime, all right? It may not happen in my lifetime, but it is going to happen in end time, where those people who are going to come before the Lord, because we just read it in the other scripture, for it is appointed unto man to die once, and then the judgment, right? We just read that. And it is that judgment that we are speaking of here. We may not see that judgment now, but that judgment is coming. And we spoke about this in men's ministry. We serve a God of delayed gratification, because his fullness of time is coming. And when it comes, it's full. I'm going to tell you right now, you know, the scripture says that we have no idea what God has in store for us in Christ Jesus. Everything shall be revealed. Everything will be laid bare. Everything will come out. And in that time, you and I are either going to shine like the stars of heaven because we have believed this word, we have held to this word, and we will see the victories of this word. But we must be changed by this word. This is something I need each and every one of you to hear right now. If you're struggling with something in this life, if you don't have the peace that you need between you and God, it's because there's something in you God wants to get out. Let him do the work. It is going to hurt. He broke my leg and broke my hip. Do you think it was a fun time? Actually, it was on the other side of it, because I got to realize just how much God loves me and how much he wants me to do what he wants me to do, not what I feel is right for me. Because I'll guarantee you right now, if I do what's right for me, I'm going to hurt more of you than he would ever hurt. So yeah, I'm going to deal with the things that I need to deal with. Are you going to deal with the things you need to deal with? Are you going to be light in this world? Are you going to be salt in this world? Are you going to show the hope that you have and take the peace of Jesus Christ and plant it where it seems as though nothing can grow? Because I'll guarantee you that's what God did to you and that's what he did to me. Amen? And you know he did it to you too. That's why you're here. Keep coming back. Hopefully we'll see you in church one day. You and I are living in a world where there is great peace with God. But we have to open our eyes to it. Get out of this world. For we are not of this world, but we are in this world to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And as an ambassador, this is funny because I want you to think about this. Everything I just spoke to you here from Isaiah is our diplomatic immunity. Do you get it? Because in the course of time, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will reveal himself, for he is coming again. Would you pray with me? Father God, we have your peace, and that peace comes with great power. And it is not as the world gives, for Lord God, you give, and it is an eternal covenant. So Lord, we thank you for the peace, for the power, for the hope, because you are those things. And as we go into the joy next week and the love thereof, oh Lord God, when we open all of that up on Christmas morning, may we realize that there is yet a Christmas to come, a delayed gratification that brings us to the place of understanding we have the greatest gift of all, the gift of salvation here and now. And we operate in all of these things all at one time if we will avail ourselves to you, yielding ourselves to you and calling upon the name that is above every name, the name of you, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.